Well, we've got Paul and Kev coming up next. Brent Navdala, Cody Nestor, Huey Bowman and Michael Hawks. All that coming up next. Have a great day, Raymond.
Australians have been fined about $4,100 each for tampering with their Olympic accreditation, but have avoided a conviction and potential jail sentence. But the Australian Olympic Committee says it's not the fault of the athletes, saying they are disappointed the group was detained by Brazilian authorities for about 10 hours. However, Australia's chef de mission Kitty Chiller says the athletes knew their accreditations had been tampered with ahead of trying to enter an Olympic venue to watch the Boomers basketball semi-final. The athletes must pay the fines before they are allowed to leave Rio with their passports surrendered to a Rio court. Australians will be asked in February to vote on whether they want a law passed to allow same-sex marriage. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull had previously said the plebiscite to resolve the issue would ideally be held by the end of this year. The Daily Telegraph reports voters will be asked, "Do you approve of a law to permit people of the same sex to marry?" Victorian police are extending their search for an elderly man who's been missing for 6 days and who suffers from dementia. 79-year-old Matthias Babos went is unshaven and wears glasses. Mr. Babos was last seen wearing a red and brown jacket, blue jeans, a white shirt and an Akubra-style hat. Anyone with information should contact police. Queensland firefighters who tried to rescue a man from his burning home on the Darling Downs have been beaten back by flames. The body of a man aged in his 50s was found in the home at Warwick after the fire took hold about 6:40 last night. Neighbouring properties had to be evacuated due to the ferocity of the blaze, which also prevented fire crews from getting inside to look for the man. Guide Dogs Victoria says it's desperately looking for people to help care for its puppies. CEO Karen Hayes says as the nation ages, so too grows the demand for guide dogs. The dogs undergo months of intense training before they can graduate, and the charity estimates each guide dog costs about $35,000. Yesterday, 57 of its dogs graduated to become official guide dogs. In the US, the Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has made a direct appeal to African American voters, saying the Democrats have failed to make their lives better. At a meeting in the northern state of Michigan, he told a mostly white audience that if they want change, they need to join him.
You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose?
And London's mayor has called on fellow members of Britain's opposition Labour Party to replace leader Jeremy Corbyn. Sadiq Khan says Corbyn's failure to drum up support for Britain remaining in the EU shows he can't command the backing of voters. Corbyn is being challenged for the leadership by fellow MP Owen Smith. This is Air News. The All Blacks have thumped Australia 42-8 in the opening Bledisloe Cup match at ANZ Stadium. In front of a crowd of 65,000, the Wallabies were outplayed by the All Blacks. Wallabies captain Stephen Moore says the performance just wasn't good enough.
We trained really hard in the last 3 weeks and we thought we were ready to play well tonight, but we need to look at all that, go back to it. We've got another game next week, so we got to just keep pushing on now. You don't just give up now, we've just got to keep going.
The Wallabies now head to Wellington for the second test next Saturday night. In AFL, the Crows helped Eddie Betts celebrate his 250th game with a 15-point win over Port Adelaide last night at Adelaide Oval. The Crows withstood a late surge from Port to claim a 15-19-109 to 14-10-94 win and climbed to second on the ladder. Earlier, in front of a crowd of just over 17,000 at Docklands, Collingwood beat the Gold Coast by 71 points. The Gold Coast, Sean Lemons, was taken off the field on a stretcher following a second quarter collision with Jesse White. And the Magpies were also a man down during the second half after forward Darcy Moore appeared to be having problems with his troublesome hamstring. Round 24 of the NRL, the Cowboys broke their three-game losing streak, beating the Warriors 34-6 last night in Townsville. In other matches, Melbourne Storm defeated Manly 38-18 and the Gold Coast Titans thrashed the Newcastle Knights 26-6. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the Traffic Report. Good morning. Homebush, Parramatta Road at Marlborough Road. Traffic lights are out, causing some westbound delays. M5, very heavy city bound onto Mar Street as well, if you are heading into the international terminal.
Okay, well, it's all about delays.
Expect some delays, and just don't forget, buses are replacing trains on the Western Line between Cabramatta and Granville. Please check transport.info for more details. Amber's 20% off everything sale ends today. That's a massive 20% off all your indoor, outdoor tiles, pavers and stone. Hurry into your local Amber store. Amber has the answer. I'm Chris Gerald on Sky Sports Radio.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of the gun. The mare races to the lead. Lucia Valentina, what a slashing win in the Queen Elizabeth.
It's time for your complete wrap of the week's feature racing around New South Wales and interstate. Welcome to the wrap.
Alrighty, good morning at 9:06. Kevin Wolf here with Paul Joyce, our racing guru with the wrap. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Kev, and what a day at Randwick it was yesterday. A real taste of spring, what we've got to come. I mean, not only was Winx the headline act there, we had Omei Sword, Divine Prophet. We had a $70 winner bootlegging in the Country Highway Handicap, Pearls, and then Southern Legend, who bought the drunken crowd. Well, they mightn't have been drunken. They looked drunken. The crowd there in the member stand, gee, they were rioting there when Timmy Clark rode that last winner. So it was just a great atmosphere out there yesterday. Beautiful day, and the track raced terrifically. But, yeah, Winx was the highlight, and she was just brilliant yet again.
Yeah, she was. And we'll be having a chat with Hugh Bowman shortly as well. We appreciate Hugh's time because... everybody wants a piece of Chris Waller and Hugh Bowman. I know that Ray and Jimmy this morning had Chris Waller on talking about Winx, so we're pretty happy that Hugh's agreed to come on the show, so we'll speak to him shortly.
Yeah, no, looking forward to having a chat with Hugh. He was over the moon yesterday. It was his first real full day back riding from a bit of a break, so he definitely was feeling the pinch after the last, so great to get him on this morning. Brett Navdala, who had two terrific wins yesterday on Omei Sword and Pearl, so we'll get him on. And Michael Hawks as well, to have a chat about Divine Prophet and obviously Star Turn. So the Hawks Day were really dominating these early three-year-old sprints.
And also we're going to have a chat with Cody Nesta, the jockey who was out at Corinda yesterday up in the Walgett Shire. It was Corinda Cup Day on their picnic race meeting, and Cody was out there supporting country racing as he does and had a treble, including riding the Cup winner. So we'll find out more about Corinda Cup Day. But let's start on ahead of Hugh Bowman, a lighter note here, but not for the jockey concerned. The jockey, Jan-Erik Nyroth. He attempted a move up the inside rail at a race in Sweden last weekend, but he was shut off and forced to go around the outside. The track announcer, in the midst of calling the race, wasn't too happy about the way the jockey performed on the horse. You might have heard this. If you haven't, listen again. And could you imagine one of our race callers doing this?
Come into the turn, and you can see Jan-Erik Nyroth is still looking for a way through on favourite number two, Angel Love. And he's making the same mistake he made earlier in the day today, but now seemingly getting a chance down the inside rail there as we see the favourite being hampered. And what a bloody idiot he is as they come down the straight here now with favourite Angel flying here. Angel Love's going to fly to win it, and Angel Love wins it from 6-3. But what an incredible stupid drive by a rider by Nyroth. I get more and more irritated when I see what he did in the first race today on the massive favourite.
And he won, so it's not like he lost the race, but obviously the race caller are no fan of the jockey's tactics.
No, well, race callers that have a bet are often the best or the worst race callers, and maybe he's one of the worst, but I don't know. I enjoyed the call.
It was good. And one of the best is our very own Darren Flindell, and again, he put one in the books yesterday, his call of Divine Prophet. Bang instead of boom, and we'll relive a bit of that later on this morning when we do speak to Michael Hawks. And just ahead of Hugh Bowman, I'd like to get this feel-good story across, Paul. The Sydney Strapper of the Year at the Racing Night of Champions, which was announced on Thursday, was Ali Iftikhar, who's the stable strapper for Chris Waller, or one of them. And in the words of Chris Waller, a pleasure to work with. He's one of the first to volunteer and stay back if anything extra needs to be done. He's got a smile on his face all the time, bit of a character. He was a professional jockey in Pakistan, But since being in Australia, he lost his wife in 2007. He's since lost his father and one of his sisters. He's four young kids. Now, how would you go with this? This fella's living here. Back in Pakistan, he's got four kids between the age of 9 and 13. They live there. They're being raised by one of his sisters. He sends the majority of his wage back home. He's also funded a school bus to ensure local children get to school each and every day. He rarely gets the chance to go home, but he's a key member of staff. But isn't that a story? Living here, and look, strappers wouldn't repay the world, would they, Paul?
No, that's what I was saying earlier off air. You know, he's on what we would consider a minimal wage here in Australia, and obviously he's managing to do all of that good back home and support four kids. So it's a terrific story. And look, I think that's a great award, the Strapper of the Year award, something they've brought in this year, and hopefully they continue it because stories like that can come out of it.
Another story this week was the passing away of the great Bob Skelton, legendary jockey, and we'll relive the Van der Ham 1976 Melbourne Cup win this hour as well. But at 10 past 9, it is the wrap as we get stuck into a chat here with Hugh Bowman. Okay, well, it's all about winks, isn't it, Paul? Yesterday, what a win, what a ride, and we're lucky enough to have Hugh Bowman with us this morning. Hugh, good morning. Thank you for your time. Well done yesterday.
Paul, how are you both?
Yeah, we're well. Tell us, have you seen the replay of that race yet?
I have seen it, yeah. I watched it last night, just on my phone. I watched the first three quarters of the rugby. Then I thought I'd better go to bed. So I went to bed and I just watched it.
So how do you sit back and look at a race like that compared to, how you felt riding the horse? When you sit back and you look at just how she ran, what do you think, what do you say when you look at that?
I don't know. I suppose I think how fortunate I am to be her pilot, really. I mean, yesterday was, usually, especially early on in a race, the distance, she tends to, I think her pattern is better to be ridden a bit quieter. And she's got an electric finish ridden that way, as we saw in the Doncaster. But look, the conditions of the race yesterday just didn't suit that style, I didn't think, and that's why I rode her up closer. And so it's the first time I've sort of been in front when I've really let her go. And so therefore, it was a bit of a different feeling for me because I wasn't concentrating on any other horses or navigating a path. I was just simply, it was just me and her, and I can't tell you how impressive she felt. Like, it was the first time I really understood, what an exceptional turn of foot that she got, and how well balanced she is.
Like, it was an awesome win, Huey. You said after the race, arguably the best win of her career to date. Is that how you feel this morning, and is that a real warning for her rivals for the rest of the spring?
I'm not sure that I thought it was the best win. I thought it was the quickest she'd gone under me. But the reality is, it was a field full of, there were three resuming stayers in the race. Even the main opposition, Lucia Valentina, her best performances over a shorter trip have been on rain-affected ground. So, look, I don't think it was a vintage Warwick State, to be honest, as far as, the only genuine sprinter in the race was Rebel Dane. So, I'm not going into any illusions as to, that's going to be the rate of the spring as far as sprinter milers go, but she couldn't have done any more. What impressed me is the way that she was able to put herself on the pace and relax so well, and I just think she's maturing a great deal, within herself and physically. She's a much stronger horse than she was last time, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Hughie. Did you have a chance to look at her before the race when you went into the enclosure? Because to my eye, what you just said was absolutely spot on. I don't think I've seen her looking this good first up, but I don't think I've seen her looking this good full stop.
No, well, she just filled her frame out. I mean, even like when she won the Cox Plate last year, there wasn't a lot of her. I mean, obviously she had the talent, but she was, she was very mature. She had a very narrow neck. Her whole body was quite narrow, but I felt her body developed a bit come the autumn, but she was still quite narrow through the neck region, but she's now developed physically in that area, and, you know, she's just a much stronger horse. So, therefore, I think, you know, she could be a better horse. I mean, judging on what we saw yesterday, there's every chance she could be a traction better than last prep. But, look, that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've all got a great deal of confidence in her, and, you know, with the owners and Chris and myself, we're just really enjoying the opportunity to work with a horse with such great talent and such great nature. She's just a pleasure to deal with. There's no chink in her armour. You don't have to be worried about this or worried about that. You know, I mean, obviously we want her to be safe and sound, but she really doesn't do anything to risk herself. She's very straightforward and very adaptable. So that helps make her so good. She just ticks all the boxes.
Hugh, the last time we've seen anything like the hysteria surrounding a horse was obviously Black Caviar, and Peter Moody and Luke Noland obviously were hounded forever for the news story about the horse. Yourself and Chris Waller, you're sort of almost like rock stars now. The demands on your time, I know that Chris said yesterday in his post-race interview, it's an honour to be associated with a horse, and you've just said the similar sort of thing, but do you feel any more pressure pre-race on a horse like that, given the expectations that are on her and you?
Look, I don't feel pressure. Certainly, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say I felt a little more anxious than when I go in and ride other races, or even Group 1 races for that matter. But to be honest, if I've got a good ride in a major race, I can assure you, I wouldn't say I feel pressure. It comes with an air of confidence, I guess. But you certainly have an air of anxiousness in preparing for a big race. And I guess now riding her, regardless of what event it is, it's like a Melbourne Cup or a Cox Plate for me. You know, I treat it like it's, you know, the ultimate, and, you know, she certainly deserves that, but she brings that to the table, and I find when I get on her back and I'm let go and I can at the gates, you know, that's when she's relaxed and I relax, as I do, when I'm riding in those major races. Once I'm out on the horse and off to the start, you know, I always seem to just relax in myself. It's just you and the horse, and, you know, all the other business tends to go out the window a bit, just onto the job then. But, yeah, there's a lot of demand with media and a lot of interest in all those assets. But, you know, that comes with the territory of being associated with such a horse. And what can I say, you know? I mean, I'm 36 years old, but when I was a kid, I dreamed of being a jockey, and to think that I'm now riding a horse, you know, of this calibre, you know, I wouldn't say I pinch myself, because, you know, we're in the moment, and it's happening, and it's very real for me and for us all, but it's something I don't take for granted, and I'm sure when it's all said and done, I'll look back on it and I will pinch myself to think just how lucky I was.
Yeah, well said, Hughie. A laid-back champion jockey and a laid-back champion horse. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Hugh. We really do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompt. It's that easy.
At 19 past 9, it is the wrap here. Paul Joyce with Kevin Wolfe. Our thanks to Hugh Bowman, who's on his way up to the Hunter Valley along with Chris Waller. There's a big day up there. Stallion Parade.
Yeah, big stallion parade up there today at Scone, so we were lucky enough that Huey found some reception and managed to speak to us on the way up. So great work there by Huey.
All right, let's have a chat with Mark Van Gestel, Chief Steward of Racing New South Wales. Mark's with us. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, Paul.
Yesterday, were you caught up in the Winx euphoria like everybody else, Mark? Did you take the steward's hat off for a few minutes and enjoy the thrill?
Oh, look, it was a great day's racing, Kevin, and you know, she just topped it off. It's, you know, the euphoria that goes with a horse such as that is what racing's all about, really, bringing people to the track and people being able to embrace such a champion horse.
You would have seen a lot of champion horses, Mark. Where would you have Winks in the time that you've been being a steward? I mean, Black Caviar was been to Randwick, and you know, have you got a right behind her? Or?
Oh, look, for sure. Paul, like, you look at the hype that Black Caviar created when she raced at Randwick, and Winks is right up there, and if not getting to a point where she's going to surpass some of the feats of Black Caviar. So, yeah, look, like they'd be probably the two standout horses in my time.
Down to the nitty-gritty of yesterday, Calliope, who was responsible for holding up the Silver Shadow there for about 10 minutes before Ome Sword came out and blew her rivals away. She's a bit of a barrier rogue. She's a serial offender. What's the New South Wales stewards doing with her?
Yeah, look, Paul, we spoke to John O'Shea yesterday, and obviously the sweat's still on the brow in respect to where they go forward with Calliope, but we've left it on the basis that John O'Shea will liaise with the Godolphin team as to whether they wish to continue on with the racing career of the filly. If they choose to do so, well, then obviously we'll need to speak to the connections as to what embargoes are placed on Calliope, but obviously, you know, we'd have to give some serious consideration in respect to her racing future, particularly bearing in mind, you know, the issues that she created at the start there yesterday. It wasn't ideal for a number of those fillies who had to be removed from the gates, and obviously, a significant period of time behind the gates when Calliope was being removed from the barriers.
And Christian Reith, the only suspension out of yesterday's meeting?
He was, yeah. He got suspended in the Tab Highway. It was an incident near the 1,200 metres, causing quite significant interference to a horse. High tech, and also Star Bidden was probably the worst sufferer of interference at that point in the race. And he unfortunately was suspended last Saturday as well, Paul. So he this goes to be served cumulatively. So he's not back now until the 7th of September.
Now, I wasn't in the stewards' room too much yesterday. Were there any other hard luck stories or jockeys you sort of got in there to ask any questions of?
Oh, look, it was probably a day of barrier issues, really, Paul. The first pin down pal missed the start by about 10 lengths. She reared as the start was affected. She's going back to the trials. Elusive Runner in the second race in the Lord Mayor's Cup, it missed the start by about 5 lengths also, and it also needs to go back to the trial. So probably really just a day of mishaps at the barriers. Probably the only other horses worth mentioning were in the highway races that didn't get their chances, and they were Loyal Toast and also Squid and Squeeze. Both had difficulty getting running in the early part of the straight, and both of those horses should have finished a little closer.
Righty, Mark, thank you once again for your time, and we'll catch up with you again next Sunday morning on The Wrap.
Great, thanks, gentlemen.
Mark Van Gestel there, Chief Steward of Racing New South Wales. 9:23 on The Wrap. Before we take our first break and then we catch up with Brenton Abdullah and Michael Hawkes, you might have heard during the week champion jockey Bob Skelton passed away in Melbourne on Friday morning after a short battle with cancer. He was 81. Did you ever have anything to do with Bob?
No, he was before my time, but I was speaking to a couple of the more senior guys in the press room yesterday, Max Presnell, one of those, and he said Bob, he had an unusual style, he said, but he was outstanding on a stayer. So coming from someone like Max Presnell, that's a big rap to get for sure.
Well, his brothers Bill, Errol, Frank and Max were all jockeys. He was a 9-time premier jockey at Ellerslie between 1956 and 76. He rode more than 2,000 winners, inducted into the New Zealand Sports Hall of Fame in 1995, the New Zealand Racing Hall of Fame in 2006. He won more two-mile races than any other jockey in Australasia. Retired back in 87-88 at the age of 54, received an OBE in 1978 for services to horse racing. And on our way to our break, we'll remember here Bob Skelton, the 1976 Melbourne Cup on Vanderhum.
One of the leaders from Summer Hay in the middle. Don't know what it is down the extreme outside. It's completely black. It could be perhaps, and they're followed at the head of the others by Golden Black, and Reckless is coming home well. Happy Union is still the leader down the outside, Vanderhum. And what's this one? Reckless, it could be right down the extreme outside, and Golden Black too. Reckless on the Vanderhum now is joined in, and Vanderhum shortly afterwards takes the lead at the 100 metre mark. Vanderhum is holding Golden Black at bay, and Vanderhum is going to win the cup. Vanderhum's got on to win from Golden Black. A photo of a third. Give it a Kythera. They're followed by Reckless and behind them Happy Union. Well back in the field in Astara's region, and they're followed by Merclair. Then came Demerara, followed by Summer Hay, Fair Warning. Well back is Galena Boy, followed by Battle Heights, Never In It, then Grand Scale, followed by Captain Perry. Then came perhaps Clear Day, followed by My Royal Dell.
Hunter's Postmortem brings you the best racing analysis.
Join Ron Duffersey,
Dean Lester
and Glenn Munsey as they cover all the feature racing and take your calls. Hunter's Postmortem, Monday mornings at 9, here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, how many washing loads would someone do in a year?
How long is a piece of string?
What?
Are you talking about our bonus one-year supply of coal power?
Yep. When you buy any Samsung, LG, Bosch, Beko, Simpson or Fisher & Paykel washing machine at Bingley, get a bonus one-year supply of coal power.
Give me a calculator.
You use a calculator?
No. I use an abacus.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of wash loads in a year's supply of coal power.
It's a great deal.
And at Bingley, there's a great deal more in store.
Offer ends August 31. Excludes ASCO and Miele.
Here at TAB, we've set you up with a great chance of converting the extras as we approach the business end of the NRL season. We've got some great NRL offers available on every game right through to round 25, as well as our massive range of markets including head-to-head, first try scorer, and the popular line over-under double. So take advantage of TAB's amazing odds and offers by taking a quick tap on your mobile, jumping on tab.com.au, or stepping inside a TAB venue.
Gamble responsibly.
ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches and rings. ZNZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. For official NRL watches and jewellery, engagement or wedding rings, corporate gifts or remodelling and repairs, ZNZ's your place. See ZNZ at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and St George Junior Referees.
At Bingley, buy any Fisher & Paykel dishwasher and receive a bonus year supply of Fairy dishwashing tablets. A fantastic bonus from Fisher & Paykel and Bingley. Conditions apply. See bingley.com.au or in-store for details.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're listening to The Wrap.
The Wrap here on a Sunday morning at Sky Sports Radio. Paul now joined by a young man who was a gifted junior cricketer, once opened the batting for Victoria, and spent his childhood watching that fabulous DVD narrated by Bill Collins telling the story of Kingston Town and Manukato, the king and the man. Never, never ridicule golf, as Bill Collins said. Brenton Avdullah, good morning to you.
Morning, boys.
Yeah. Memories of that DVD? Bill Collins? Yes.
Yes, no, it was played pretty frequently, so yeah, I remember it pretty well.
Yeah. You're probably not old enough to have seen any of Kingston Town or Manukato.
No, definitely not. That video got me up to date with everything.
Yeah. And before we look at the horse racing, tell us about your cricket. Reading there, you were pretty handy at cricket. Did you have to get to an age where you decided, all right, I continue on with cricket or I go into the horse racing? Is that the way it was? You had to reach a decision?
Pretty much. Look, I was at school and I hated school. I love my sport. I love footy. I love cricket. So I was always better at cricket. I was sort of in the Victorian squad and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, when I was 15, it was time to sort of move to make a decision. I wanted to leave school and racing was just coming around. And I decided to leave school and go for racing.
Well, it's been a big success so far, Brenton, going to racing. And obviously yesterday was a terrific day for you. Omei Sword, I mean, she just looked amazing winning the Silver Shadow. Sure, she gave you a good feel. And then Pearls managed to get the job done there in the toy show, holding off a fast-finishing Dixie Blossoms. We'll start with Omei Sword. Is she as good as she looks?
Yeah, look, she's quite nice. Sort of rode it towards the end of last prep, and she gave me a good feel, and she was still sort of just so immature. She had a bit of a body, but you just see that she was just going to grow. And when I trialled her at the start of the prep, you could just see that she filled out, and I was very fortunate to get on yesterday. And the hardest part of the race is just trying to stay out of trouble and get her clear running, but once I did that, she glided up the rise and let go like a really good horse.
Now, I saw her on Twitter, I think last night, you were sort of comparing her with another filly that you had plenty of success on. I think she was your first Group 1 winner, Secret Admirer. Obviously, she's not there yet, but she gives you that sort of feel that she's got that potential?
I think so. Secret Admirer, she came out of nowhere as well. Like, you know, she won a maiden in her second start, and she won a Group 1 at her fourth, and Well, this filly's had, like, 3 or 4 runs now, and she's a Group 2 winner, and I think she's only going to get better. I think she's probably got more scope. She's just going to keep improving, and I'm sure when the distances get longer, she's going to come into her own. So I think it's very exciting for Chris Waller and his stable.
Yeah, well, I heard Chrissy's got the Golden Rose as perhaps a little option. He doesn't want to take on the boys, but the timing and the distance seems about right. So it'll be interesting to see what Chris does with her, if he keeps her to the fillies races or gives her a crack against the boys. Either way, I think she's destined for the Group 1 Flight Stakes, Kev. So if you're an AMA Sword fan, that's her main target of the spring. Now, what about Pearls yesterday, Brenton? She was tough in winning the toy show.
She was. She was brilliantly prepared by obviously John and the team. And from a soft draw, the hardest part with her was just probably staying off the fence. And we ended up getting to a great spot, one out, one back, and always felt in control. But I knew Dixie Blossoms was going to be right on my back and trying to run me down. So just had to push the trigger at the right time, and we were lucky enough to get the job done. But she's a talented mare on her day, and look, there's no reason why she can't win another one during the prep.
Now, on a personal note, you took out the New South Wales Jockeys Premiership last year, so congratulations on that. I know how hard you've worked to get there. And obviously this year you've come out of the blocks running. You're actually leading the Sydney Jockeys Premiership this year by quite a margin after a short time. So have you got any new goals this year? Obviously, you know, yesterday you're riding for Chris Waller and John O'Shea, so you're in the big stables. Obviously you're going to have to take a second seat to the likes of James McDonald and perhaps Hugh Bowman at times, but you're happy at where you're at, and have you got a goal to perhaps give the Sydney Premiership a shake this year?
Yeah, no, look, I'm in a good spot at the moment. Sort of been working hard over the last year and a half for these opportunities and just keeping a waiting check, and you know, that's how I've been getting these rides. So I said it's going to help if I'm getting the support off the right stables. But the goal last season was to sort of win New South Wales and finish top 5 in the Metro, which I did. And this season it's just going to be a bit more staying more competitive. And look, if I'm not going to worry about the premiership till sort of halfway through the season. It was more just trying to stay consistent and keeping the winners flowing. So look after Melbourne and that sort of stuff, and you know, I'll see where I am on the premiership and all that sort of stuff, and then that can be a goal. But at the moment, it's just trying to sort of finish tops, maybe even just give top 3 a shake and stay consistent. We'll see what happens in 6 months.
And obviously your weight could be a big benefit for you this season, 54 kilos. You've got James McDonald perhaps riding a touch lighter for Godolphin, may give you a few more opportunities, and obviously Huey Bowman for Chris Waller. You know, he rides a little bit higher up the weights as well. So do you have to work hard at keeping your weight, or are you naturally a 54er?
Look, I can ride 54 pretty comfortable most times. It's a bit harder sort of winter time, so when the weather warms up a bit, it gets a bit easier, but look, at the end of the day, I've ridden, you know, twice at 50 and a half, so when I put my mind to it, I can get down lower. So that's the bonus at the moment. Look, Hugh doesn't usually ride under 56, and I think James is going to be restricted to sort of 55 and a bit over, so that's going to be my opportunity to sort of get those light rides off those lead stables. And obviously Chris and the Godolphin team, they usually have multiple runners in races, so look, hopefully the second stringers are just as good as their first one sometimes, and like in running, plays a big part, so it's going to be there at the right, you know, the right place at the right time, and I'm sure things will happen.
No, that's for sure, Brent. All right, well, all the best for the season. All the best. I'm just going to hand you over to Kev. He's got a couple of questions to fire at you about, I assume, about your career. So fire away, Kev.
Yeah, we asked this of a few people that come on the show, Brent. And do you follow your career in terms of stats? Do you want to look back and see what you've done and what you've won? Much?
Look, sometimes. It's not something I sort of always look at, but I think the last thing I looked at, I was close to 700 winners.
Yeah, look, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah. That was the first question. 699 with the couple you picked up yesterday. So
there you go.
It's a good start.
I didn't realise I was that close.
No, well, there you go. That's a good start. Group 1, so you know this one.
Four,
yeah. And Secret Admirer, you mentioned, who was your first. You were only 18, right, when you won your first Group 1?
It would have been 18 or 19, yeah. Oh, it would have been, 19, I reckon.
Okay. All right, talk us through your other Group 1s.
Well, she won the Flight Stakes.
Yep.
I Love the City won the Guineas.
Yep.
And the Guineas. And then she came back and won the Epsom. And then I went to Melbourne and Spetchel and won the Lightning.
There you go. Nicely done. What track have you ridden the most winners at, do you reckon?
Is that career?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, jeez. I wouldn't have a clue.
Well, it's a Sydney venue.
It's a metropolitan venue.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'd say, I don't know.
I'll kind of guess. I'll guess Canterbury.
Canterbury's not right. What do you say, Brenton?
Warwick Farm?
No.
Randwick.
No. Rose Hill.
There you go. I wouldn't have a clue.
And Provincial is next best. Do you know what it is after Rose Hill? Provincial?
Wyong or Gosford.
Yeah, Wyong, 70. Canterbury, 68. Gosford and Hawkesbury, both 60. Randwick, 56. How many winners? It's Taree Cup Day today. How many winners have you ridden in Taree?
One, I think.
That is correct. Which trainer have you had the most rides for, or most wins for?
Gerald Ryan.
That's also correct. And the horse with the most wins under you?
Probably going to be How Much You Love Me, I think.
That's correct. With six, along with Aaron Osa. Also, six wins. The top of the class. You didn't miss. Oh, I missed one.
Yeah, but, missed one. But, gee, I reckon that we'll have to go back to the replays to see if he gets the gold title off Lynn Schofield. I think he's gone pretty close.
Yeah, he did well. Nice work, Brendan. Thanks for joining us today. Look, outside of Winks yesterday, I thought Omo Sword was just the performance was just amazing, wasn't it?
She's, amazing. She's got Group 1 written all. If I've seen a filly with Group 1 written all over, it's her. She's a beast of a thing to look at, and she'll strip fitter for that run. And her turn of foot, it was just stunning. So, no, I've got her down as a Group 1 winner for sure.
Brenton, thanks for joining us on the wrap. Enjoy the cubby house today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Bye.
All right, mate. Brenton Abdullah there. What a nice fella he is, and a gun jockey. And hasn't he really stepped up in the last couple of years, just really taken a giant leap in terms of, I guess, quality of rides and a number of wins?
Yeah, look, I think we talk about horses maturing as they age, you know, and Brenton was so young when we look back at those early Group 1 wins of his career, and it was probably coming too easily for him. He was just a naturally good athlete, obviously, at cricket as well. So he's had to mature, work hard, and now he's starting to achieve those results. So he's really snapping at the heels of the big guns. And, you know, I think he'll give the Sydney Premiership a shake because he's sort of going to stay here most of the season, whereas the other boys head off and come back, and I think he could pinch a break on them.
Well, it's the wrap at 24-10, and look, we've mentioned Winks, and we've talked about Omo Sword, but the performance yesterday of Divine Prophet, again, was just unbelievable, nearly as unbelievable as the call from Darren Flindell. Just sit back and enjoy how good a good race caller can be.
Around the turn, Taj Mahal pushed on from Canter, walked right in, Divine Prophet 8 lengths off the leaders, coming up the rise, Thronem being joined by Darren the outside, and Darren lays it down to Thronem, then Prized Icon, Divine Prophet from back in the field runs on, it's Darren getting the upper hand from Thronem, Divine Prophet with a big run on the outside, Darren in front, Divine Prophet over the top, bang, got up to win it. Divine Prophet, a big win. No shame for Darren, though, in second. Thronem.
Yeah, so Shitaka was a boom, and Divine Prophet's a bang.
And they're both trained by the Hawkses, and we're lucky enough to have Michael Hawkes joining us this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Paul. How are you going?
I'm really well because I had something on Divine Prophet yesterday. Thanks for asking. And got out to a good price, Michael, which I was surprised about because looking at him in the yard, he looked like he's grown. He's strong. He's a good-looking type.
Yeah, he was. He's actually done very, very well this prep. Obviously, last prep, he went to Kembla and he won first up. And to be fair, if anyone didn't see that, they probably should go and have a look at that win because that win probably stamped himself going forward to think, well, we might have something with a little bit of promise here. And then obviously he went second up to a mile, Group 1. You know, that's not something we rarely do either. But we just felt the time was right and we gave him a crack at it and he obviously flew home and ran third. So with that in mind, we put him in the paddock ball and got him back and, well, everyone saw what we produced yesterday with him.
Now, look, he's obviously got Star Turn at home as well, who won the San Domenico the week before. So you've got these 2-3-year-olds at this stage winning sprint races. Obviously, Star Turn, you know, listening to what John and yourself have said, maybe sort of keeping to the sprints, but Divine Prophet already placed out to a mile. There's a bit of upside to him, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Look, they're both nice colts, but they're different colts. Obviously, Star Turn, yes. Would he get further? Everyone's asked that question, and he probably would. But at the moment, obviously, his turn of foot the other day when Tommy pushed the go button, he said, see you later, and he's very explosive at the moment. So the other fella, obviously been to a mile already, he's more a horse that will be suited to further. He may even get to 2,000. But they're two, at this stage, they're similar or same, but then as they progress into their prep, you're going to see two totally different horses. But that's not to say Star Turn won't get ground, but he's as good as what he is for the sprints at the moment. So it's kind of we're in a lucky position, I suppose, with the races coming up to sort of where we go and what we do. Because, as I said, with these two colts, they're both valuable. Obviously, they're both group winners now and they've got pedigrees behind them. So you try and half split them up if you can to try and go in the right races, but I suppose we're lucky. It's kind of like a Chautauqua and Winx, you know, as good a horse as they are, they'll probably never really clash to a degree, and these hopefully these colts are the same. But you never know what's around the corner.
No, well, I think Star turns down to run next week in the... Is it the Run to the Rose next week?
Yeah, he might. At this stage, you know, we haven't decided. Nothing's 110% in concrete, but at this stage, he'll more than likely head that way. You'll probably see him in the nominations, obviously, tomorrow, but whether we do or not, we sort of decided, I suppose, later in the week or acceptance time. But the other horse, you know, Divine, you know, 3 weeks, I think it is, to the Golden Rose, which is probably an ideal prep. And for him second up, and, well, everyone saw how explosive he was, he's only going to improve from that run. And I'm up at the Hunter Valley at the moment with the Stallion Parades at Arrowfield. And, you know, I spoke to Dad just before, and he's pulled up really good, the horse, and, you know, obviously going forward, it's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, look, they are the two favourites of the Golden Rose at the moment, so you're in a great position there. Obviously, they might not both get there, so punters will be aware of that, but there is also a chance that they will get there. Now, what about when you watch Winx go around yesterday, Michael? You guys have got your own champion in Chautauqua, and I'm happy to call him a champion, and I'm happy to call Winx a champion. There'll be some old-timers out there that sort of scoff on their cornflakes because we use the word too loosely, but these are our champions, Michael, aren't they? You know, of the past generation or the older guys, you know, the Todmans and Tullocks, they were their champions, but as far as I'm concerned, these are our champions.
Look, I think what you said is right. This day and age, although the word tag, champion, or whatever you want to call it, it does get thrown around a bit, but I think people that follow racing enough can really see good horses and the better horses excel. And I suppose a Chautauqua or a Winx, they do things that you don't expect them really to do. Like, I know, yes, everyone expected her to win yesterday, but then again, you look at her time. Oh, that's phenomenal. I think she ran sub 32 or whatever it was. And, you know, even Huey said, look, it's probably the quickest he's ever gone. And so they're kind of things that make horses into champions. You know, you can win as much as you want, but when they go to that elite level, you know, whether it be a Chautauqua missing the start in Hong Kong and being 17, 18 lengths off them at the half mile, and, you know, they're explosive things that, when you've got these horses, and to everyone listening out there, you know, it's people see us and go, oh, yeah, that's great, he's a champion, they're freaks and this, that and the other. When you're working with them day in, day out, you know, it's a pleasure and it's obviously an honour, but then we're on a different side of the coin. We're working with them day in, day out every day, and the public don't get to see them until race day. So from our point of view, it's probably a different perspective of what everyone else sort of thinks, but end of the day, you know, we're lucky enough to have these two horses, let alone in Australia, or if not the world, rankings to be highly sought after. And as I said, they're on two completely different paths, and it's probably the best thing that racing's had for a long, long time, is two champion horses like this on different paths, because, you know, the public get to see what it's all about.
Michael, when are we likely to see Chautauqua?
He's back in Sydney at the moment. He's had a good grounding. He's had pre-training in Sydney. We brought him up here because of the weather. It was a bit warmer. Depending on when we send him down to Melbourne, which would be probably soon-ish rather than later, he'll start in the Moya, obviously head towards the Manicato, off to Adali, which we're trying to obviously be a bit successful there, third up, and then all going well, he'll head back to Hong Kong for the Hong Kong International Championships in December. So he's got a long prep ahead of him, and obviously that runs onto the back of next year as well, going forward. And, you know, we're going to get him back home in one piece, all going well. He's in Hong Kong, and then he run first up TJ, and then hopefully be back on an overseas campaign again. So, yeah, he's got a bit of racing ahead of him, the old boy, but the way he's come back in, as crazy as it sounds, you know, he's bigger, he's stronger, he looks better. And it's just ridiculous when you see this caliber of horse that what you think. But, you know, obviously when he gets out there, he just does his tradesman-like stuff and gets on with the job. But, you know, I know a couple of owners of the horse have always said that they felt that the best is yet to come. And when you look at him, you kind of got to probably agree. So hopefully going forward for the spring, you know, everyone will get a good show of him and hopefully see that he's definitely improved.
Yeah, it's got to be great for racing if he keeps winning the way that Winx keeps winning, because it puts the sport on the front page along with the back page and attracts more mainstream interest. So hopefully Chautauqua keeps going. Michael, the Hawk setup, I know that you guys sanctioned officially as a training partnership with your dad in 2008. How does it work? Are you all set up in different states? I know you've got stables, Rose Hill, Flemington. How does it work? Who does what?
Basically, I'm based at Rose Hill. Wayne's at Flemington. Dad spends the majority of his time backwards and forwards. And, you know, it's probably the biggest outfit or biggest advantage, I suppose, for us is it's family. And you can count on one another. Perfect example is like now, I've been up at the Hunter this weekend. Dad went to the races yesterday. Obviously, Wayne's in Melbourne. So, you know, and then all of a sudden, whether Wayne's away or I'm away or Dad's away or whatever the case may be, there's always someone there in that front to cover what we need to do and where we need to be. So I suppose it's pretty important as far as a partnership goes, but more importantly, it's family. But the best part about us is, I suppose, we all have our arguments. You know, we have our say, we have our arguments, but we don't hold grudges. We might have a blow-up and this, that and the other, and then we move on. 5 minutes later, you've forgotten about it and move forward, because that's the only way to progress and go forward. And I suppose that's why it's successful the way we operate it. And, you know, our horses go backwards and forwards from Melbourne to Sydney quite a lot without staff, because obviously we've got great staff in both states. And, you know, that hence is for the future, like a Chautauqua travelling overseas, or whether it be going to Brisbane for the carnival, our horses are always travelling up and down the highway. So, you know, our staff is your biggest asset, and we've got some really, really good key people going forward, and that includes from office staff to the whole lot. So It's not just obviously the forefront of Wayne, you know, Dad and I. It's more the point of the whole team, and that's what team is about, and that's how we're probably so successful in what we do.
Hence the name Team Hawks.
Exactly right.
And I think you've got an extra player there, Tommy Berry, at the moment, Michael. I mean, you guys seem to obviously use him a lot, but you know, I dare say you've developed a friendship apart from a working relationship, and I think for you guys it's a massive bonus to have him on side.
Well, it is. It's like Dwayne in Melbourne. He's been with us a long, long time, and he's been had a great association with Wayne as well. And you know, Tommy up here in Sydney, and, you know, we've become great mates. And, you know, we do things outside of the circle, but it's healthy, and it's going forward, and you discuss things, and, you know, whether you have a bad ride or not, it's constructive criticism going forward. And I suppose that's probably the most important thing, is you can actually talk about things rather than just have a blow up and, look, he knows when I get disappointed and so forth, and, you know, he puts his hand up and says, look, I've ridden a bad race, or I've done something wrong, or whatever the case may be. But you've got to talk about the situations rather than just hold it in and just hold a grudge. As I said before, we don't hold grudges, and I suppose that's why it's become more a team effort orientated, and including our riders, because you get to have associations with them. And, you know, Tommy's young, he's got a bright future, you know, he's ridden globally, and that stands him in good stead for experience. And look, we're not perfect. No one is perfect. He's not perfect. You know, Dwayne Dunn's not perfect, but, you know, going forward, it helps the situation that you're able to talk about things. And even Dwayne Dunn, to get to Hong Kong, he got, you know, didn't get the ride on Chautauqua, but flew up Saturday night, didn't have to, was there on the Sunday, celebrated. Now, as much as it probably hurt him, it just goes to show how much of a team player he really is, because, you know, there might not be a lot of jockeys out there that have partnered a good horse and have done that, whereas he done that on his own steam, and, you know, and that took a lot of kudos, and they're little things that's what's so important, is there's no I in team, and that's why we are a big team, you know, player.
Well said. Michael, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us on The Wrap.
Thanks, guys.
Michael Hawks here on Sky Sports Radio. And it's 12 to 10. Cody Nesta still to come, but Gary Crisp from Racing and Sports with us. Gary, good morning to you.
Yeah, g'day, Kevin. G'day, Paul. How are you going?
Yeah, well, look, we all rated Winx yesterday. How did you guys come out with a rating for her performance yesterday?
Well, look, it was an amazing performance. I had a quick chat to Paul after the race, and I didn't really think that she would rate where she did yesterday, but we've got the race locked in pretty solid with her running a figure of 126, which for her to come back and run that figure at her first run back, which is 2 pounds below her peak figure from last season of 128, is just an enormous performance. It just doesn't happen very often. Even some of the great horses we've had in the past generally take a couple of runs before they actually get back to anything like that number. I mean, a figure of that level is a very high figure, and for horses to consistently run it as not many do. So her performance yesterday and the way that she did it, we've got a mark at 126, which makes her the equal highest rated winner of the Warwick Stakes in the last 25 years with Galante here back in 1997. So it's a very, very strong performance. And interestingly, the last horse to come through this race to win the Cox Plate was Sunline in 1999. She won the race and ran a time form rating of 123. So it's the last horse to do the double. So she's in good company there.
So on your chart, Gary, would you have Winx potentially hitting a higher peak this year if she gets to the Cox Plate?
Yes, I think we would. We've always thought when we analysed performances last year that 128 was a pretty comfortable number for her. Probably some of the things she did in the race, the sectional markups that we could have used, we didn't, particularly in the Doncaster, which was a fantastic performance. So I think she's got capacity to go to 129, which puts her in a very elite company for mares, not just in Australia but globally.
Now, we were talking about Ome Sword and Divine Prophet yesterday, the two, we thought, very impressive winners in both those three-year-old sprints. Where would you have those two rated compared to, say, other three-year-olds of past years? And what sort of figures did you come up with?
Yeah, look, they're both different sort of races. Visually, I think probably Divine Prophet was more impressive, but in terms of breaking the race down and looking at it, firstly looking at him, we've got him running a figure of 113, and there's a bit of a sectional markup in there against our section standards, where he actually went above those levels. And again, I think that's a relatively conservative number for us, 113, and it's not a bad feel when you look at Darren. He's stepped up to the mark. He's made another progression from that win in Melbourne and Patronum, who's been a very good line horse through all of this. He's very consistent horse, and Prized Icon, I thought, was very good also, giving away a lot of weight. And for just a stride or two there in the straight, he looked like he was going to be in the finish, but obviously the weight and lack of fitness told on him. So I think this is quite a strong renewal of the race, and our figures certainly show that. I mean, it's certainly the strongest renewal since 2011, when Nana Manui won it with a figure of 115, and he was the last horse to go on and complete the double, the Golden Rose. And before him, we had Dewporth, who was beaten in this race and went on to win the Golden Rose. So he's in pretty elite company. I think this horse showed, I think Team Hawk showed the hand a bit for this guy last preparation when he went from a maiden to a Group 1 in successive starts. And I did ask John that yesterday, the last horse that he'd done that with, and he really couldn't answer the questions, which says to me that I think that they have a very high opinion of this horse. I think we'll see a lot more of him, and probably, I think John made the point, he's probably going to be better at 1600 or 2000. So he's an exciting horse. And if you look at Ome Sword, she was very good yesterday. She's only had the four starts, and we saw her in the autumn run very well. We've got her marked at 113, just a pound below Divine Prophet. At that level, she's one of the highest rated winners of the race in recent time, equal with Nishida back in 2012, who was a subsequent Group 1 winner of the Coolmore Stakes. Not quite as high as Samantha Miss or Gold Edition, who we know were outstanding fillies of the year, and they ran figures of 116. So she's only about a length of those horses at this stage, and for a horse that lightly raced, I think that's a probably pretty good sign going forward.
Gary, we appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Yeah, pleasure, Kevin. See ya.
Gary Crisp from Racing at Sports on the wrap at 7 to 10.
Sky Sports Radio is ready to launch into spring with stacks of morning attractions every day. From this week, the early mail commences at 11 a.m. Sunday to Friday, bringing you the day's markets and tips. Wednesdays at 10:30, trainers and jockeys talk midweek racing. And on Thursdays, Chinwag with Cozzy brings you an array of racing characters. Following the big sports breakfast every morning, it pays to stay with your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. at Bing Lee by Emmy Fisher & Paykel Dishwasher and receive a bonus year supply of Fairy Dishwashing Tablets. A fantastic bonus from Fisher & Paykel and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See bingley.com.au or in-store for details.
It is the wrap on Sky Sports Radio and David Bowie, Let's Dance. And the significance of playing Let's Dance on the wrap is what, Paul Joyce?
So you could have a dance, obviously, the way you're going there. Was there any other reason?
Well, back in 1983 when the song was released, the film clip was filmed in Corinda, up in the Walgett Shire. And they had their cup meeting on yesterday. The Corinda Picnic races were on, actually. Been racing since 1915. The biggest day on the calendar for Corinda, population about 200 people. It's 650 k's northwest of Sydney, 270 k's from Dubbo. Now, the picnic races were washed out in July, rescheduled to yesterday. The Corinda Cup was the main event. They had the Calcutta at the Corinda Hotel Friday night where the Bowie song was filmed. They had the DJ pumping out the fat beats at the golf club last night. And Cody Nesta was there riding and having some fun. He's with us. Cody, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Corinda, did it go off?
Yeah, no, she's a good little meeting, mate, out in a bit of a dirt track, but had a good crowd, and the racing was good, and I'm sure they partied hard last night.
The Corinda Cup itself, which you did win on the horse Cool Rules, trained by Peter Sinclair out of Moree. Congratulations, a treble on the day. You make a point of heading out to the picnics?
Yeah, I like getting out of the bush, mate. I find the people out there are great. They're always very welcoming, you know, and these little meetings at Corinda and Louth and Walgett and them sort of places there, they're very big social days on the community calendar for the town, you know, and it brings a lot to them. So I think without the race days there, you know, she'd be a long year.
What's the track like, Cody? Obviously, the punters who bet on watch on Sky Channel don't get to see these races. Explain it to us. Like, obviously, it's a dirt track, but is it tight? Is there an outside rail? How long's the home straight? All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, most of the bush tracks are pretty well shaped, Paul. It's probably got a 350-metre run-in. Gets a bit tight from about the 700 to about the 350 where it keeps turning, but all in all, they're not overly, like, I think the biggest field yesterday was 10 runners, you know. It's pretty safe racing. The track itself yesterday was pretty good. The surface was pretty good. You could get back and the dust wasn't hurting as much. But I've ridden on tracks where you get back and you can't see a lot and you come back with sort of sores all over you. But yesterday's racing was pretty good. And they got a shower of rain the night before and just sort of took the dust off the top of the track. So it was good.
You didn't hang around to get into it with the locals then, Cody?
Oh, mate, I had a beer or two after the cup. I was in the last with a few people up there, and we hit the roads trying to beat the kangaroos back home.
When are you riding next?
I go to Cessnock tomorrow and Dubbo on Tuesday.
All right. And how are you coping after that horrific mudgy fall that we know happened late last year? Five horses, which was pretty ordinary, and you had some shoulder issues. How's your health?
Yeah, not too bad. Took me a while to get back into it. It gets a little bit sore every now and again, but all in all, it's pretty good considering what happened, and we're all pretty lucky to have walked away from the fall, so things are going good, back in the swing of it, so yeah, can't really complain about it.
All right. Well, look, thanks for taking time to speak to us on the wrap this morning. Well done supporting country racing, the Corinda Picnics that went off, and you walked away with three, including the cup, so you get your name on the trophy out there. What is it, a nice beer stein or something with engraved all the past winners, the Corinda Cup? Anything?
Yeah, I suppose it would be. I never actually got to see it. I was back in the room having a shower and getting ready to go home, but they had a presentation there. I'd imagine it would have been a pretty big cup, and I'd say the boys had a few beers out of it last night.
All right. Cody, great stuff. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, good on you. Thank you.
Cody Nesta, looking at the Corinda Cup, the picnic races, the heart of racing. Been around for 100 years, picnics.
Save the kangaroos, by the sound of things. He had to head home to beat the kangaroos. I don't think Hugh Bowman would have had the same problem heading home from Randwick last night, but once upon a time he would have. He was a country boy to start off with as well. So it's great to see these country boys making it good in the city, but also the ones that stick around hometowns. And he wrote half the card there yesterday. Not a bad effort.
No, he did well. Let's see. Nick Quinn from tab.com.au. Nick, good morning to you. No, Nick's not there. All right. Well, we do have Nick coming up with Tab Talk after 10. Also, Tari Cup Day. We'll no doubt look at that a bit later on this morning as well, with $80,000 in prize money. So it's great that the prize money's been increased by so much, attracting a quality field. I know Chris Lees has a couple of runners there for us as well. But yesterday, Paul, also Bobby Alyssa wrote a treble at Kembla. There was a double for Chris Waller, double for the Snowdens. Rebecca Prest picked up a couple of wins at Cowra. Willie Pike a double at Belmont, no surprise. Jeff Lloyd a treble at Eagle Farm. Rob Heathcote a double. You had the Penny Edition Stakes at Morfordville. Jamie Carr had a double, including riding at Rocket Commander to a win there. Matt Poon picked up a double. Moonee Valley yesterday, the Mackenzie Stakes. Ken's Dream for the Yendall Weir combination. Ken's Dream's now won two from two. The Carlion Stakes won by Heatherley.